Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 252. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan.
You can find me. Sorry, Cap, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
I just said it's good to be back. I feel like we haven't potted in a while.
We haven't potted in a while. You're right. We did put one out last week, but you and I have not. It's been a couple weeks since we've even recorded. I've been on the road. I've been doing the Double Happiness Tour all around these United States of America. And I will be the 2021 version of this tour. We're going to kick back off in 2022. But the 2021 version is ending December 3rd and 4th at the Alameda Comedy Club just outside of Oakland, California, in the hoity-toity neighborhood next to Oakland, California. I'll tell you that much. It's the fancy part because these people, they don't want to say they live in Oakland. You know, it has a bad rap.
No, Oakland's got a bad connotation.
People think of MC Hammer and things
the
like
Raiders
this.
And
yeah, the Raiders, the A's, boo, Moneyball. And people say, no, we don't need Moneyball. We can afford. These are Giants fans who live in Oakland, San Francisco Giants.
Silicon Valley types.
Yeah, but so they live in Alameda, which is 3 minutes outside of Oakland. All right. I will be at the Alameda Comedy Club December 3rd and 4th. Come to that. Two shows each night. Get tickets at turnersparks.com or go to their website. But please come out and support that show. I need to sell a lot of tickets for that one because this is my first time headlining a weekend there. It's a new club. I got to impress these people. So come and bring your friends. Bring your whole family. Bring everybody. Listen, you can bring your family to my shows, you know.
Right. As long as they're vaccinated. That's the rules in California. So bring
As they're vaccinated, and you might have to be over 21. I'm not exactly sure, but bring your grandparents. That's my point. They'll love it. My friend brought his 90-something-year-old grandpa to my show in Sacramento at the Punchline the other day. The guy loved it. I mean,
because you're a cross-generational talent. That's the thing. You don't
exactly.
You're not one of these comics who's just going to do a bunch of shtick about dating in New York City.
These aren't Tinder jokes, okay? aren't. I'm not doing it about dating apps. I'm not doing it about what just happened on Twitter 5 minutes ago. You don't need to know. I don't say BRB.
Zero material on your vagina.
Zero. I'm not using Twitter. LMAO. I don't say LMAO once.
No LMAOs.
I'm not canceling anybody. I'm not going, boo, white men are the worst. That's not my act.
Yeah.
That's white women's
white
act.
Grandparents.
Yeah. I'll save that for the white women. They can do that act. But for me, I'm just telling jokes. So come on out. Alameda Comic Club. Also, if you want to support this podcast, which I think you do,
more
go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. And for $5 a month, you get an extra episode. You get three extra episodes a week. And we're back on that now. We kind of lost
three.
Track. I was on the road. I can't be on the road and produce a podcast.
And you've got parents who don't have internet, apparently. So we had problems.
And my parents don't have internet. So that would made it difficult. Now we're back up to three. We're putting one out today, even. So patreon.com/lostinamerica.
Happiness. We're putting out a pod and a Patreon the same day. Look at that.
Look at that. Look at that. Kaplan on the show today. $5 a month. And we want to get back over $400 because we had some people. This arms race is kind of over. These $35 a month people.
We petered out.
Sugar Brady went back on that. He said he said he's wasted enough money on us. He went back down to $10 a month.
Cheapskate.
He's still getting an ad on this show.
We love
Sugar. $20 a month, you get your own ad on this show once a month. And Sugar, this is Sugar Brady's week, so we're giving him an ad.
And we should say there's a lot of inflation right now, so the money's not even worth what it used to be worth. So give us your money. It's no point in putting it in a bank. It's like negative money putting it in a bank. Give us your
money. Exactly. Yeah. You can't afford not to give us $30 a month or $50.
We're like gold or Bitcoin.
$100. On the podcast today, we got our friend Chino Liao's back. We'll bring him in just a minute. We're talking about the Philippine election. It's a wild one, Kaplan.
Yeah, it's got 97 candidates, I've heard. So that's
Rodrigo Duterte. And it should, you know, if the three of us run, we could push it over 100.
We should get it to 100, magic number.
Yeah, let's make it 100 candidates. It's Rodrigo Duterte, who's one of, we might have slandered him previously on this podcast, because I think maybe did we ever call him a dictator? We just called him a wild man. He's not a dictator because he's leaving office.
Yeah, he's leaving. He's only serving one term, and then he's
out. Worst dictator ever.
He's not. He thought Trump was a bad dictator, but this guy.
So it's, but I do like what they have over there. It's a 6-year, you're the president for 6 years. It's one term, but you get 6 years.
You get to kill as many drug dealers as you want in 6 years, and then you're out. You move on.
Yes. And he killed a lot, you know? He rocked them all. He killed with the best of them.
He did.
And now he's out. And so now they're having other people become the president. So everyone's 97 people are running. Some of them are former world champion boxers like Manny Pacquiao. Others are related to Duterte, you know, their version
I saw there was a teeny bopper actor is running in the mix. There's
there's a bunch of people. One of them's the daughter, like the Ivana Trump? I've already forgot her name. What's Trump's daughter's name?
Ivana's the daughter. Ivanka was the wife, right? Yeah.
They kind of changed that. It's too hard.
We kind of forgot about her already. Yeah. She was supposed to be our next leader.
I couldn't even remember her name. Anyway, it's their version of that, except this person really is running. She's running for vice president. I think. Cap, what do you know about this?
Well,
did I just say everything?
I think we say everything. No, but it's just to add to it, it's kind of amazing that like we all knew Marcos in the 80s.
Even brought that up yet.
Oh, we didn't bring it. You didn't mention that. Yes.
No.
The son of the former dictator is running, actual dictator, back when there was a dictatorship, as my understanding, is running for office. And is
Let me set this up so people know what we're talking about. The lady with the shoes.
That's what I was going to get to. That's what I knew about her.
Miranda Marcos. I can't remember her name. I think it's Miranda. She, like the person from Sex and the City. Miranda Marcos with the shoes was a dictator's wife. She had 30,000 pairs of shoes. That's kind of all we knew about the Philippines.
That was one of the main things we knew in the 80s. One of the main things that seeped in international news-wise to America.
She had a lot of shoes. Her husband was the dictator. You know him. You love him. He ended up getting ousted because he stole $10 billion from the country or something like that. Right. Anyway, they're out, long forgotten. Who shows up now but her son? And this guy's going to be maybe the president. So he's running Duterte's daughter, the whole crew.
His dad didn't leave him any money, or he just can't be bought off because he's still going to. Yeah.
I think he is bought off. I don't think he's said that has he disavowed his parents? I don't even know.
No, I'm saying if your dad steals $10 billion, you think you'd retire and never have to work. But this guy, he's got an ethic.
Oh, I'd buy an island.
He wants to work for the people. So
I'd go Epstein back on this thing.
So it's pretty cool, though. I don't know that many countries where there was not pretty cool, might be the wrong way of putting it, but where there's a dictator's child who's in running for office. Like, you know.
Usually,
Franco's kid didn't run in Spain or Stalin or.
It's a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me scenario here. And I should say, when I said go Epstein, I mean by buying the island, not all the other stuff. Come on, people.
Right. Now, his intentions were good, is what you're saying in the beginning.
Let's bring the host of the Class Clown podcast onto the show. Back again, one of our favorites, straight from Manila, but he's in a resident of Manila, but he's currently stand-up comedian based out of Manila, tours all over the Philippines, all over Asia, all over the world. He's currently in the Bay Area, the United States Bay Area, and I think I'm going to see him in early December.
Is he playing Oakland?
In Alameda. He's going to come hang out. Everybody, from the Class Clown podcast, Chino Liao, welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me back on here. I don't know if you guys have me back on as much because you like me or because you like the fact that my country's really bad right now.
It's kind of a little bit both.
It's like
kind of a perfect combo.
Does this say more about the Philippines than it does me? I don't know.
Perfect combo. That's Captain.
It's that we dream of getting great guests who also come with fucked up places.
Yeah, you have both. It's a five tool trick. Baseball player. They would
yeah,
say.
The hat trick, the rare hat trick in comedy. A nice guy from a shitty place. Yes.
So what's going on? What's going on with your with this election?
It is Game of Thrones crazy is what it is, you guys. It is just insane. So let me try and lay the land real quick. So on one hand, you have the son of the former dictator, right? So the person you were talking about was Imelda Marcos. That's
Imelda,
her actual
Miranda.
Miranda actually works too, but Imelda is her actual first name. And
Imelda Marcos.
Her son, right? Bong Bong Marcos, Ferdinand Marcos Jr.
Oh, yeah, his name's Bong Bong.
Yes. What a name.
Yeah, right? The least threatening name on the planet. Owned by...
Sounds like a guy in Kaplan's frat in college. Yeah. Bong, Bong Bong Marcos.
So this dude is actually the governor of their home province of Ilocos Norte, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, he's the current sitting governor of... he used to be the governor. He's now a senator. So he got that deep, right? So he's also running for public office for the presidency, which is interesting because he actually tried to run for vice president during the last elections when Duterte won, right? So during the last elections when President Duterte won, he was actually in second place, a close second to the current vice president now. Right,
and the vice president's separate, right? Than the president, they don't
Together. They don't do a party thing over in Manila, in the Philippines. So on the other hand of that vice presidency is Lenny Robredo, who is actually one of the good guys. And
wait,
she's...
let's stick with Bong Bong for a second, if we can.
Okay.
Was Bong Bong? Let's go into his family quickly here. So the Marcos family, I was under the impression they got kicked out of the Philippines for life because they did steal $10 billion, estimated.
They did and they didn't. See, okay, so it's crazy, okay? So let's go all the way back to the 80s when martial law was over and they got kicked out of the country, right? New presidency, new regime happened. They actually fled. Supposedly, they fled to Hawaii, and that's where we last saw them, right? So very, very HBO specially.
We took them in?
Yeah, right? So it's they flew to Hawaii. And
it's a state, isn't it?
It's a state. It's weird because for some reason, and I can't really explain why, but Imelda Marcos actually won a seat in Congress after... in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. So she still became a public official. So did Bong Bong. So did his sister, Amy Marcos. They all became public officials despite being from a family that stole all that money from the Philippines.
Was she in Hawaii when she ran or
No, they were back in the Philippines. They made their way back.
So they went on vacation to Hawaii.
They took a quick trip out to Hawaii.
This sounds like the best punishment ever.
Spent all that money and then flew back.
So did they ever, what's the feeling on the family? Obviously it's not like universal hate if they're winning elections.
Yes. See, here's the thing. The Philippines is very territorial when it comes to their politicians. So in the north, the far north of the Philippines, about 12 hours outside of Manila, that's where the Marcoses sit. And in that area of the Philippines, people are very defensive of the Marcoses because they were able to benefit from their regime. You know, one of the first places that the Marcoses developed was in that part of Ilocos Norte. So Bongbong Marcos is actually known for a lot of legislative and environmental projects in that part. He put up windmills, he developed the towns there, and to be fair, he did an actual good job. However, his track record isn't proven enough to be carried over on the national scale. That and the fact that he still hasn't disavowed what his family has done, number one. Nobody, like you guys were talking
no
about
apology.
How he hasn't denied his family. On the contrary, he's actually been defending what his family's done, Right? He actually, he has not outright said that we stole all that money and my dad created one of the worst dictatorships in all of history. Right? So he hasn't done that yet. He also has not, he's also been padding his resume a lot. Like we all do that, right? Like if you go in for a job.
Key Club was bullshit.
What he's saying is ridiculous. So as governor of Ilocos Norte, his region, his province actually won a few medals in youth games, in junior Olympic games, right? And so he's claiming those medals as his own, because when that happened, he was governor. So therefore, by the transitive property, he is also a gold. He's also a gold medal winner, which is insane. It's like
that's like Kim Jong Il saying he has like 111 hole in ones.
Right, exactly. So, right. So it's pretty crazy from his.
So he has shades of a future dictator.
Yes, that's what people are afraid of. Now there's a whole I don't really know how to explain it, but historical revisionism is a thing that happens in the Philippines, wherein the people who, especially the younger generations, who were not affected by martial law, are slowly starting to defend what Bongbong Marcos is all about. So they don't...
Nostalgia.
Right.
I think I know why, though. All you have to do to get the kids, you put up a couple windmills, and they'll forget a dictator.
Right. Environmentally, yeah.
Yeah.
Conscious.
Do and it if, for you the say, if you use the right pronouns, you're in.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know? You know the pronouns?
Yeah. Right. Is he handsome? Is he like a Che Guevara type?
He's a charismatic type. Like, if you Google him, you can see that he actually draws a lot of... He's very charismatic, but he looks a lot like his dad. So it's really hard to separate the identity of Bongbong Marcos from his father. Plus, his real name is Ferdinand Marcos Jr.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you split yourself from that, right? How do you separate that?
So the young people actually like him.
A lot of young people actually like him. And it's scary because... he has a very good chance of winning here. It's very, very close right now. People and really can't tell who's apart.
What are his politics? Like, I read all about this this election, and I couldn't find anyone's actual, like, well, yeah, I'm going to...
proposals or
right.
platform.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to... infrastructure. I'm going to do... It was none of that. It was just, like, all these crazy characters.
So this is where we get into the things a little bit deeper, right? A deep end of the pool. Okay, so Bongbong Marcos was originally allied with the current president, Rodrigo Duterte, right? The idea was if Rodrigo Duterte wins, Bongbong Marcos would be his vice president. Going a little bit further than that, there was a conspiracy theory, very QAnon-ish, but there was a conspiracy theory that Rodrigo Duterte will step down from presidency, handing it over back to Bongbong Marcos. That was like the end goal here after all of this, right? But current events have shown that Rodrigo Duterte and Bongbong Marcos have gone their separate ways right now. Because right now, as it stands, Rodrigo Duterte's daughter, Sara Duterte, is also running for vice presidency.
Yes, and so, this is where it gets fun.
But is she allied with Marcos or no?
So that's what people are saying. People are saying now that she is going to be Bongbong Marcos's vice president, right? Which a role which originally was supposed to go to the current president, Rodrigo Duterte.
So the original idea was Duterte, after you can't be president again in multiple terms,
so
but you could be maybe vice president.
Yes, you could be vice president. So the idea was that he would be Bongbong Marcos's vice president after his term, keeping it within the family in a sense.
And now that's out, but Sara Duterte, Rodrigo's daughter, will now be vice president.
Sara Duterte has other ties outside of the Duterte family, namely with former President Gloria Arroyo, right? Gloria Macapagal Arroyo was the president a few terms back, I would say 2 to 3 terms back, right? She made headlines for ousting another former president from an impeachment, right? She used to be a vice president, became president, and then ran two consecutive terms. So she became president twice in a row. And now,
is that allowed?
It was allowed because when she, what during her first term, she was vice president and only took over after the previous president was impeached, right? So she ran again for re-election the year after and won, right? Despite some controversy, which we won't get into anymore because it's going to get really convoluted. But essentially, what's happening right now is this lady, Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, is playing kingmaker right now and was able to convince Sara Duterte to go up against her father for the vice presidentship.
Oh,
her father's running too? Right. He's one of...
Okay, so not anymore.
No.
Oh, no. Okay,
not anymore. Rodrigo Duterte decided that he'd rather be senator now. So he filed the candidacy to be a senator, right? Meanwhile, Sara Duterte, who originally was supposed to be his president, now decided to be Bongbong Marcos's vice president.
So Sara Duterte is the mayor
of Davao City.
So she is a politician in the Philippines. Sounds like maybe she's been one a long time. Been a politician?
So Sara Duterte, is the daughter of the current president, Rodrigo Duterte.
Yes.
Okay. So when Rodrigo Duterte rose to power in Davao City, which is a city in the far south of the Philippines, right?
Yeah, and when it's Rodrigo, a small city, right?
It's a fairly small city. I'd say it's a B-tier city, if you know what that is, right?
So tier two.
Yeah, tier two. There we go. So in the south of the Philippines, where their seat of power is, as soon as Rodrigo Duterte became the president of the country, he handed it over to his daughter, essentially, right? Nobody was going to go up against the Dutertes in Davao. Because that was their stronghold.
Their turf.
That's their Winterfell for those Game of Thrones watchers.
Like the Trumps in Florida.
Right. That's where they're embedded right now. And so now the original plan, going back a few years, was that if Rodrigo Duterte had to step down for presidency, he would hand over the reins to his daughter for vice presidency, for the presidency, and he would be himself the vice president. Right, therefore, grooming his daughter for the presidency, right?
Okay,
That was the theory. However, Rodrigo, there's another character coming into this, and I'm sorry if you guys are lost, but we'll try our best here because sometimes even the Filipinos don't know what's happening. They are turning our elections into Survivor for some reason. It's insane. So, Rodrigo Duterte's right hand man. His official title is presidential aide or advisor to the president. Bongo, another bong.
Another bong, a singular bong.
A singular bong this time.
Bongo, like the
bongo.
Yes. Was supposed to be Sara Duterte's vice president now. Because people saw right through the Rodrigo Duterte as vice president shtick. Right? They called foul.
Okay,
so sorry. It's getting confusing. I know.
Yeah, no. So... All right, so you got on one side, you have Marcos running for president, right? And the idea was that before any of this could happen, there was this theory that Rodrigo Duterte would step down and make his daughter the president.
Yes.
Before his term was over, so she could then just run for re-election.
Yes.
Right? And somehow that didn't happen, and now Sara Duterte has... transferred and become the vice presidential candidate for the Marcos family.
Yes.
Due
in fact to Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, who, like I said, was playing kingmaker here.
Former president.
Former president Gloria Macapagal Arroyo decided that Rodrigo Duterte was this uncontrollable caveman, this wild man of a dictator.
Just decided.
Right? She felt that because Duterte rose to powers so suddenly and so swiftly, she would be out of place, right? Essentially, the person pulling all the strings here is Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. She's essentially the person behind all of this.
And supposedly. Can I ask, are all these people on the same side politically?
Yes, they're all right. Part of the same party, if that is okay. Your question.
Right? Is Sarah Duterte less, a little more restrained, shall we say, than not a cave woman?
She is her father's daughter, you know.
So she's a cave woman.
She is capable of whatever her dad is doing because she only learned, she was under his learning tree here. You know, right. She picked
she just
up
does it with a smile.
Yes, she does. She does it with a feminine touch
and lipstick.
And lipstick. You know. So her hand isn't as heavy, but it's still pretty heavy.
And is she aligned? So it sounds like her and her, do her and her father.
There's
they
a
have
rift
break
between her and her dad. Yes, okay. But because of the confusing political landscape as it is right now, they are still considered to be on the same side. It's just that because her dad is now on the outs with everybody involved, most especially GMA, Gloria Macapagal-Arroyo, right? He decided to start his own political party, run under that as a senator, and yet still be aligned with the larger political party, right?
And the Bongo guy is running under that party?
The Bongo guy is running under that party as president.
Okay, so you got President Duterte is putting up Bongo,
yes.
as his candidate,
yes.
For president. And then I get it. Okay, and then we have Marcos' son, Bong Bong Marcos, is running for president.
Yes.
And Duterte's daughter, Sarah, is going to be his vice president. And these people are all on the same side of, they're all running for the same
yes.
votes.
And,
yes.
And opposite, then we got a little boxer. Manny
yes,
Pacquiao.
Not opposite them. He, I think is he also the
also
same
on
side?
The same oh. side. We got
right. I meant opposite yeah. running against in the more. Yeah,
yeah.
But he's also on the right.
He's also okay. So this is where things get a little bit more confusing for your listeners here. Manny Pacquiao, the boxer we were referring to, is actually the president of that political party, that larger political party called PDP-Laban. You don't need to know the name. The essentially they are the administration. Right now, because
we should say Senator Manny Pacquiao.
Senator Manny Pacquiao is the current sitting president of that political party.
Amazing,
right? Boxer, presidential party, a presidential candidate.
Guy gets hit in the head for a living.
I mean, he just fought, by the way. He just had a fight a few months ago, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He just fought too.
He's been. When I looked it up, I was blown away. He's been a senator since 2016.
He also holds the most record number of absences for Senate. So that's how he's
training.
Able to do it.
I mean, would Rocky have been able to?
That's how he's been able to do it.
I lost so much money, I got to say, betting on Ricky Hatton against Manny Pacquiao many years ago that I could never vote for that guy.
That was a terrible bet.
I'm a sucker.
But that was an awful bet. Yeah,
he knocked him out
that.
So fast. Yeah. It was awesome, actually.
Batting in three, that's what I would have said. Anyway, so Manny Pacquiao was the current sitting president of the political party. And what happens is, in that political party, if you are its president, you automatically become its presidential candidate because you're at the top of the food chain.
Okay.
Right? Rodrigo Duterte wasn't having that. He wanted his daughter to be president at that time. This was a few years ago. Right? At that time, because he was grooming her. Right? There was a rift that happened because Pacquiao also had his own aspirations. He was testing the waters for a presidential run, which, of course, now we know he's actually pushing through it. Right? He was testing the waters, decided to go for it, and that's when the rift happened. That's when they decided to split, go their separate ways, but not really.
Yeah.
So now Pacquiao is running his own campaign, apart from the Dutertes and apart from Bongbong Marcos.
And they're all going for the same votes. I mean, they're all right wing. Like, I looked up Pacquiao. Pacquiao is he also is tough on crime.
Yes,
he wants to be tough. As that's a light way to put it. Executing drug dealers. I don't know if he's executing drug dealers. I don't know if he wants to do that. He may be, but he's tough on crime. He's been aligned with Duterte and that presidency for the past like 4 or 5 years. Right?
Yes,
he's supported them.
You have to understand, Manny Pacquiao also comes from the same part of the country as the Dutertes. We're talking about the very south of the Philippines here. A group of Filipinos who were much largely ignored by Manila, which is a good 3 hours away, right? Okay. By plane, 3 hours away by plane. So it's a very large disparity here. And the number of Filipinos in that part of the country feel like representation matters to them, and they are only going to get that through either Manny Pacquiao or a Duterte.
I mean, I could see it. If you look at a map of the Philippines, Kaplan, there's so many islands that you could feel isolated. You could feel like those people have never even been here. They don't
care. Over country.
They got to take a boat to get to me.
Boat over country.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could get it that you think a Manila is 100 years away.
Right.
And they're never coming to help you.
Right.
So
that's why you turn to Manny Pacquiao. He's the voice of the people.
Well, he's the voice of some people. He's not, you know, he's. I like how they tried to cancel him. I don't know if you heard about this, Chino, a couple years ago in the U.S. because they asked him what his thoughts on gay marriage were.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You mean, why ask? Why ask? Why are we looking for a boxing champion?
Well, first of all, most boxers, even American boxers, are not known as being great proponents of gay rights.
Also, I don't know about you, but I don't want a president who gets professionally hit in the head.
That's
I don't know how that affects his judgment. You know what I mean?
Of course. That's why Mayweather never got hit.
But also, you know, he's a simple dude. Right,
yeah. He's a simple dude. Exactly.
He's an evangelical Christian. He supports the death penalty. He's against same-sex marriage. But he also wants to provide 2 million free houses to the poor.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
listen,
he's done some good for his part of the country. He has done some good for his part of the country. It's just that with his Senate attendance record, a lot of people are putting it up in the air. Because if you don't show up to work, how can you work, right? That's the whole argument against Manny
Pacquiao. Boring, the Senate voting. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, you'd rather watch him fight Money Mayweather. All right, well, we got to take a break right here, Kaplan. We got to pay the bills. But when we come back, I want to hear, there's even more to this. I want to hear about what's going to happen going forward. How popular are all these candidates we've talked about? We'll get into that and who's going to win. But Kaplan, before that, my gosh, we're part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network.
We are.
And that is myself. That is Michael Ira Kaplan. That is Professor Andrew Heaton. That is Dr. Andrea Jones Roy. She's a PhD, but we put the doctor at the front.
Yeah. Of course.
Of course.
Dr. Roy.
Dr. Roy. Dr. Andrea Jones Roy. People said, because, you know, people sometimes say, no, you can't. It's you have to say their name and then PhD afterwards. And I said, I do what I want, you know.
You do. Yeah, come on. Show some respect.
Dr. Andrew. Professor Andrew Heaton, he's the host of the Political Orphanage podcast. He's also host of the Friday Release Valve show coming out. It's on Fridays, a comedy show. He's also host of Alienating the Audience, which is, I think, his show about sci-fi movies.
And he had Andrew Yang on this past week on his podcast, which I
was a great episode. Yang was on Heaton's podcast. I haven't even listened to it yet. Was it good?
It was great, yeah. So, you know, we gotta do a roundtable and get Yang on in the future.
Political Orphanage is very popular. It's a show for third party or people who don't have a political party, right? People are interested in politics, but they don't want any of the right.
The alt middle.
The alt middle, yeah. Which would we tried to give him that name for the show. He didn't want it. And then Dr. Andrea Jones Roy, she's got a great show. You can listen to it on our network. Now, Kaplan, for $20 a month. As we said, you get your own ad on this show. Sugar Brady has his ad on this show, and he says, and I'll read it, he wants to promote this week the 2021 Civil War.
Is it a Civil War? Where? We're going to do that episode next week.
Well, take a guess. Where do you think the Civil War might be?
Is he talking about, I don't even know, in America? There's going to be a fight? I don't even know. I got nothing. I don't even know where you're talking about.
Well, yes. The answer is yes. He's talking about the yearly game between Oregon and Oregon State football.
Oh, football game.
The Civil War.
Stumped me.
My gosh. It is. He says that every week is a risky week if you're playing in the Pac-12. That's what he says. Listen, every week's a battle.
We can't stay up that late and watch your Pac-12.
There's no off weeks in the Pac-12, Kaplan. But he said, especially when it comes to rivalry week. Yeah. Now we got the 2021 Civil War. We're talking Corvallis. We're talking Eugene. We're talking 45 miles. That's all that separates the two. Are you kidding me? You get these two fan bases together, who knows who's going to get stabbed?
So everyone watch? Is that what he's saying? Just watch the game?
Everyone watch it. He says, go Beavs. He's, of course, a Corvallis, Oregon State fan. And the game will be played. He didn't tell me this, but I'll look it up. Saturday, November 27th. What time is it, you ask, Kaplan?
I mean, it's probably like midnight. It's like a West Coast game.
To be determined. They haven't decided yet.
Do they have a what channel is it on?
If you look, we don't know yet. They're
What's the
waiting.
Spread? You got anything? Any information for me?
I got no. That's undecided too. All right. But it's Oregon, ranked number 4 in the nation.
Yeah, they're good.
Oregon State, unranked. But hey, you know what we do when it's the Civil War? We throw out the records.
Throw out the record books. This is
throw out at this. I mean, these kids grew up together. Are you kidding
me?
They
were hating each other.
They went to high school together. They got recruited to different schools. They know each other front, back, and center. They've dated each other's sisters.
Who did Sugar Brady go? Who's he rooting for? Like, do we
the
know?
The Beavers, Oregon
State. Beaver mate. Okay.
Come on.
It's I hate Oregon. They gave Chip Kelly to the Eagles, so screw them.
What did you call him? Oregon?
Oregon. Yeah, you set me up there.
I didn't set you up. You said you hate Oregon.
Oregon is how we say it in these parts. So watch that game. Thank you, Sugar Brady.
Watch that game. Kaplan,
now you got to give us $20 a month, Sugar, if you want to get another ad like that, that quality.
You're right. It went back down to 10. So back up to 20, and we'll give you a Civil War. That's it, everybody. Check that out. And now, Kaplan, a word from your local sponsors. All right, we're back. Thank you so much to all of the local sponsors. Chino, now. Anyway, those are the ads. What do you think? Who are you? Who do you like, Oregon or Oregon State?
I'm going to go with Oregon. That sounds like
Oregon.
A team that
how
I
do you
can
say in the
from.
Philippines. How do you pronounce the state?
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say Oregon. Oregon. We used to have a street called Oregon.
So they pronounce it correctly in the Philippines. Kaplan can't pronounce it correctly in Long Island City, New York.
But there used to be, there are a lot of like Americanized streets in my neighborhood.
Oregon Street. See, listen, hear that, Sugar Brady? If you go to the Philippines, you got to check out Oregon Street.
There could be a civil
it's
war
right
on that
street. It's right next to Chicago. It's right next to Chicago Street.
So let's get back to this election. Who's popular out of these people?
Okay.
Yeah, what?
So right now in the polls, because everything's still murky, Bongbong Marcos seems to be the outright runner, but his competition as of the moment is the current sitting vice president, Lenny Robredo. Robredo is an interesting case. Number one, because she is a liberal, so she is the opposite side of the coin here. She
Her name's Lenny?
Yeah. L-E-N-I.
L-E-N-I.
Yeah. So these are Filipino names, y'all. So it's all going to sound weird. But
okay, I was thinking like a New York City cab driver.
Not Jewish Lenny. No. But L-E-N-I. I think her real name is Leonora or something. I can't really say.
All right, Lynn. Okay, so she's the vice president, but is she part of Duterte's crew? Or?
No, she is not. Okay, so during Duterte's entire reign, which of course is also her entire reign as vice president, she has actually been boxed out from doing any actual sort of work because she was part of the previous administration, the administration before Duterte, which was run by the liberals, the Liberal Party of the Philippines, similar to the Democrats here in the U.S., right?
Okay.
This was the presidency of Benigno Aquino III. Who was the president before Duterte.
Okay. So she's part of that crew. So, I mean, vice presidents are meaningless in the United States and they are part of the regime. If you're a vice president,
what do you do?
What's the function even?
It's pretty much the same. You know, it's pretty much the same, which is why she really tried her best to incorporate her office into the larger office of Duterte's presidency. So she really tried to play a role in the presidency. In fact, at the start of his term, he appointed her as the head of housing in the Philippines, right?
So they got along. They figured out a way to get along.
So essentially, in the beginning, yes, they tried to play together. You know, okay. they tried to play ball with each other.
If you're the president, what's the motivation? Can't you just ice the person out 100%?
Which is what he's doing right now. Right?
Oh, okay.
Because their politics are so rudimentally opposed. They are just so they're just so against each other. At the end of the day, it didn't work out. And she ended up having to do her own thing, which really just came to light during the pandemic. Because the office of the vice president, while the country was in lockdown, was actually in action trying to provide housing and support and vaccines for the larger public in the Philippines. Right? She's been on record as being a lady of action here, which is a lot of the reason why people... Sorry, what did you say?
Lady of action.
Yeah, right, lady of action here. So, which is why... She is this is one of the main reasons why people actually wanted her to run for president, which is what she ended up doing right now.
And if something were to happen to the current president, does the vice president take over?
Yes. Right now, yes.
Strange situation.
But then she only has about 6 months left because the elections are in May of 2022. Right.
May 9th, we should say. 2022 is when this
circle
all kicks
on your
off.
Calendars.
So Lenny is coming from... And now, are there primaries? Or is it...
No, it's just whoever throws their hat at the race just goes.
I like that. It's a shotgun start. Yeah. It's just everybody goes. I don't know why we have primaries. They're stupid.
Because we have two parties.
Yeah.
And they just have like a zillion parties.
We have like 500
more parties.
Yeah.
And then...
Everyone's saying this 97 candidate thing's bad. I see it as good. To me, that's democracy in action.
Survival of the fittest.
The more the better. Why not? Everyone should be allowed to run, you know?
I mean, I'm just looking forward to the presidential debates because all of this mess is going to get
97 people.
How many
talking?
People get on the stage? How does that work?
The last election they did, they had to do two separate debates where the first half of the candidates did it and then the second half. So they probably get to do that this time around. And then when this happens, they're gonna muck up all this mess that they've been trying to sweep under the rug. And it's just going to be great TV. Bad for the country, but great TV.
I want to get into this. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, what about the last person? Is that there's a mayor from Manila?
Yes. Okay, so that's
a former teeny bop star and rom-com actor?
Yes. So his name is Isko Dumagoso. He goes by Isko Moreno. Moreno, that's his last name, his showbiz last name, and he
showbiz.
Was the current...
He used to be Weinstein. No.
Right.
Changed
I was trying. I was going to do this. Lipschultz. Lipschultz,
yeah. No, so he was a matinee idol in his day, right? So got older, decided to enter politics.
Wait, matinee idol, does that mean like a soap opera star?
Yeah, so he was in movies and TV shows. And did the whole acting,
but
song and
dance. But he was born homeless, wasn't he?
He was born on the streets of Manila.
Yeah.
So, which is part of the reason he got his mayoral run in Manila, because he was a man of the people.
Yeah.
He's just a good-looking poor guy.
Yeah, just a good-looking poor guy. Exactly.
He won and lost the lottery. All the
time. Right? So he, essentially, that's how he warmed himself up to the people. And he seems to be like a man for the people right now. It's just that he is also kind of, sort of, but not really on the same side of things as President Duterte.
Okay.
You know, so he's like in the gray middle. Much closer to Rodrigo Duterte than Lenny Romero.
He should go on
a
Heaton show.
Right?
He should go on the political orphanage. Maybe Isko Moreno on his week.
So from what I could tell, because the issues seem light, but the major issue I found seems to be, does Rodrigo Duterte get investigated by the International Crime, was it committee or?
Yeah, ICC, International Criminal Court.
The criminal court, which is The Hague, right?
Yes.
Is that The Hague?
Yes.
And The Hague wants to come in and try Duterte, Rodrigo Duterte, for war crimes because of all the drug dealers he killed with his own bare hands by his admission on his motorcycle, driving down the road, shooting them.
All the drive-bys.
In the last 6 years. And he's proud of killing all those people, but they say, hey, this might be war crimes. And he says, what? Really? First I've heard of it. That was his. And
it's
so
not a war. A drug war crime, yeah.
He, from what I've read, if the split has become that if his daughter, Sarah and Moreno, if they win, they will shield him so he cannot be investigated by the international community. And if Pacquiao, the prize fighter, wins, he will give him up to the International Crime Committee.
Yes.
And if, but I don't know where Lennon and Miranda fall on this. Oh, but is that kind of the split? So if you're voting, are you voting if I want him to go to the Hague or I don't want him to go to the Hague?
Not essentially, because people don't really concern themselves with that.
They don't care that much.
That's a larger,
the average person.
To the average person, while that is part of the bigger picture, Robredo, President Duterte's run for power isn't really concerned by his self-preservation. You know, it's really more about who wants to see actual change happen. Do you want to see do you want to still keep the same people in charge, or do you want to change things up? That's essentially
the price of milk is more important, you're saying, than the
That makes a that's a lot more appropriate, sure. Yeah. So that makes more sense right now. But it's essentially people don't really concern, the average Filipinos don't really concern themselves with ICC and, you know, with rulings.
But Pacquiao, I did see, right, he did say he would send, not just Duterte, but a lot of other people would he would put in jail,
he
perhaps.
He said everyone in Duterte's office he would put in jail.
Because of the rift that happened between them, he has gone on the record as saying that, because he feels like he's been wronged, right? He felt like it was his shot at the presidency and they didn't support him. And so he broke off from that party, created his own independent party. He's running as an independent. I forgot the name.
Put him on Heaton Show.
He's running as an independent.
I would love Heaton interview Manny Pacquiao.
just a doctorate and Manny Pacquiao. I can't imagine how that conversation turns out.
So what are the issues here that we're even picking from?
So the main issue is the pandemic management as of recent history. So right now in the Philippines, there is a hearing going on where a pharmaceutical company is being charged with embezzlement and corruption because of overpriced face shields. They marked up a face shield, which is essentially a piece of plastic that you wear on your face, 200%. And they sold it to the mass market and required the public to wear face shields.
Kaplan's a free market guy. He likes
what is 200%? So how much of did a face shield end up costing people?
So
then?
Basically, the face shield cost about maybe 5 pesos to make, and they sell it for 150.
Mm. And you times that by the amount they sold, and they force people to wear it.
Yeah, they required them to wear face shields.
So more than the masks, you had to wear the shields.
Yeah, right. So you had the mask on, and you had to have the shield on. Otherwise, you could be sent home or arrested. That's the ruling that happened here. Also, pandemic management hasn't really been the best, because they locked the country down for going on 2 years now. Essentially, the Philippines is still under lockdown. They only eased up just recently, which is why I was able to fly out again. But during that time, they locked it down. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot more people lost their lives. The vaccine rollout took so long to happen. And despite all of this, people really feel like the Duterte administration really didn't do as good a job handling the pandemic. So essentially, that's the main issue right now.
Okay.
I mean, and he seems like a guy who was pro-lockdown just in general.
Right?
He just likes the idea of a lockdown just
because
it's
a
way to get drugs off
control.
Exactly. Right. Because ideally, it's like simulated martial law, which is essentially where this was going, right?
Couldn't
leave your house. You know, you had curfew. Which didn't make sense, because I don't know if COVID respects curfew enough.
I know. The curfew was so ridiculous that after 8, you can't stay out past, bars have to close at 10 at night or something.
Right. Yeah. Everything has to shut down by 10 p.m. Right.
Yeah.
And you can't, there were checkpoints in the road from the military and the local
police. Check for your shield?
to check for your face shield and other things.
Wow.
Right? And sell you an overpriced one if you don't have it.
So if you didn't have it, they, instead of giving you, arresting you, you could buy one off the guy for like super expensive.
They just shoot you.
Yeah, or just shoot, or they shoot you.
We so shoot you or hand over 200%.
So there's a lot of dubious things that happened under Rodrigo Duterte's presidency, apart of course from the larger quote unquote war on drugs.
So after all these maniacs we talked about, who do you like for presidency?
I'm voting for Robredo. And this is actually going to be the first time I actually vote for a president.
Now, Robredo is not on my list. Who's Robredo?
Lenny Robredo. Lenny. The Lenny.
Lenny. He's voting for Lenny.
Oh, Lenny. Yeah. Lenny. I know
the
Lenny.
Jewish cab driver.
Yeah, the Jewish cab driver. Lenny Lipschitz.
Lenny
Lipschitz. Right. So the reason is because, number one,
she's the
vice president. She has also been really doing a lot for the country despite her limited position. You know, I've seen her office. Her office is pretty close to where I live, right? The actual office of the vice president is pretty close to where I live. And so I can actually remember seeing a lot of donations and volunteers flooding in and out of the place just trying to do the work that the president was supposed to be doing. You know, so I feel like as a president, she would be able to do a lot, right?
And you said number one right now in like the leaderboard is the
Marcos.
The Marcos Duterte alliance.
Yep,
and then number two would be Lenny.
Right.
And then where does Pacquiao, is he popular at all or no?
Yeah, isn't he like a king there? I mean
he's popular because he's Pacquiao, but honestly, I don't see him winning at all, especially since he broke off from the party.
Okay.
Like, he broke off from his political party, which is the main thing that he had, was the backing of this large administrative party.
Well, and a couple of world championship
Yeah, sure.
Well, if he would have retired earlier, he would be seen as more of a winner, I feel like.
Right,
He's been on too long. He keeps losing fights now. He doesn't, he's not undefeated.
Yes. Yeah, and the fact that he doesn't even show up to Senate also hurts him a lot.
Yeah, and he got punched a lot lately. I could see that.
Yeah, so I don't really see him as having a good strong hold on winning this.
I got one last question, though. It's that, I don't know if you saw this, it's breaking news, but Duterte today said he knows for a fact that one of the leading contenders does cocaine, and he won't say who. So who do you think that is? Who's the most likely to be a cokehead? And do you think that could change everything when it's revealed?
I'm pretty sure it's Duterte who does this. All this
is it cult. His daughter?
Wait, can I guess? Can
his
I guess?
With his daughter?
I'm going to guess son of ruthless dictator.
Yes.
If there's one thing I know about sons of ruthless dictator, they open nightclubs, which we've talked about before. Yes. It's a very Uday Hussein thing.
Yeah.
It's a move. You know, they do hard drugs, they party, and they kill people at whim, and then they open.
I mean, Duterte can roll in and kill this person with his bare hands now, because he's the person. If he just says he's a dealer too,
yeah,
that's true.
And go to the Hague anyway.
He's going to the Hague anyway. Big deal.
Go out with a bang.
Go kill the presidential candidate on your way out. Just kill for doing drugs.
It's not Lenny though. Well, you see, Lenny's working very hard, so it could be her. She's got to step up, stay focused.
Could be. She also has a daughter who's a doctor, so maybe, you know, that's where she's getting the help from.
So it's wild that I don't know what kind of doctors you have, but they don't prescribe cocaine in the United States.
1920s or something.
The 1920s doctor, you know? I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
You got to get to deep West Virginia to get drugs out of your doctor these days.
We got opioids. Any opioid you want from your doctor.
Yeah. So it is wild, though. So is Duterte and his daughter, do they get along? Does Sarah and old
So
Prez?
Right now, like I said, there is a rift. There is a disparity because Duterte brought on this dude Bongo to run as his main guy. His main guy. He's been grooming this dude instead of his own daughter now, because his own daughter decidedly went with a Bongo Marcos at that side of the coin.
And my final question would be, because I got to take off in a second, but just, I would think historically, I thought Duterte was like a populist man of the people guy, and I would think he would be fundamentally against the Marcos family, a dictatorship. But is that not the case, or is it too far in the past?
A rich dictatorship, too. Yeah, you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. It would seem that way. However, he hasn't really gone on the record as saying that he's disavowed the Marcoses altogether. He's not really denied what the Marcoses have done, right? So he knows that the moment he does that, he loses a lot of the people who voted for him. Because a lot of the people who vote for him also voted for Bongbong Marcos.
Okay. Complicated story, but this I like it. So May 9th, 2022 is the election day. It says election season begins, I read in like, is it February or January officially? Yeah.
Yes, that's so. Okay, by season, they mean that's when you're officially allowed to campaign. So you're going to see a lot
more. But it seems like they're all campaigning now.
Right, right. See, that's the thing. All these people are finding loopholes. So we haven't even gotten to the point. We haven't even gotten to talking about the substitution thing that happened, wherein Sara Duterte was supposed to be the president and now she's a vice president candidate.
Oh, right. Yeah. How did that happen? Quickly. If you have,
okay,
if you
so basically, she decided to switch things up on her dad without telling him, right? And so what ended up happening is they both might have ended up running for vice president against
like
each
succession,
other.
Philippine style. Her
dad, succession, the Philippine style. Exactly. So,
holy.
So they
that's
might
why
have,
Turner. So I was gonna say that's why he said in his speech about the cocaine. He said, "I am not politicking." That's why he had to say that, I guess, because you're not running yet. He's
yeah.
just saying it. I've noticed some cocaine use.
Yeah, so it's really crazy, and they are playing around with the government of a country here. You know, it's not like this is Survivor where they just win $1 million or something. You know, they're actually playing with people here, and it's so insane that they get to do that and try to one up each other in this way, just so they can keep it in the family. It's crazy.
Hopefully Lenny wins. I'm also supporting Lenny. After this hour of discussion, I think that she's the most qualified.
Yeah, right. That's
it, Kaplan. That's the podcast. We might have to check back in a few months when this all ramps up.
As
it heats
up, once politicking is allowed, we're going to have to check in. Yeah.
Once the politicking, it's not even allowed yet, and it's already massive. So crazy. That's it. Chino Liao, always a pleasure. Thank you for doing the show,
Thank
man.
Thank you.
And I'll see you in a couple weeks.
I will.
We're going to hang out.
Definitely.
So, definitely. Hear about that.
Can't wait.
Awesome. All right. That's it. Kaplan, what should we do?
I know you got to run, so let's get lost.
Get lost.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.